All right, we are now ready to go forward with the argument in Wood versus Bass. And I believe it's Mr. Polk is present for the appellant, and Mr. Brown is in the courtroom for the appellee. And Mr. Polk, you can proceed with your argument.
May it please the court, counsel. This case is not legally complicated. The facts are as follows. Ms. Wood and Ms. Bass entered what began as a transactional relationship where she would essentially be his girlfriend and then he would pay for certain things for her. As a result of that, Mr. Bass ended up purchasing a house and Ms. Wood moved into that home. Now, over the course of about a year and a half, the party's relationship soured. And then Mr. Bass began eviction proceedings against Ms. Wood. And in those proceedings, Mr. Bass specifically admitted that he was a landlord. And he proceeded under the Nebraska Landlord-Tenant Act instead of proceeding under the unlawful detainer statutes. And because of that, she was then evicted and a writ of restitution was entered. And as a result of subsequent events, Ms. Wood had difficulty getting a significant amount of her personal property returned.
Mr. Polk, you said that a writ of restitution was entered. Do we have a record of an order being entered in that previous case?
I don't believe the order made it into the record, but the actual writ did make it into the record. So by default, a writ can't issue without an order of the court of restitution. So once that occurred, and she was refused the return of certain personal property, and certain personal properties of hers was damaged, she moved forward with a lawsuit against Mr. Bass under the Nebraska Disposition of Personal Property Landlord-Tenant Act. We went to and had a trial in front of Judge Hutton. Judge Hutton specifically ruled that a landlord-tenant relationship did not exist. Judge Thompson affirmed that order. And it's our position that because Mr. Bass went forward under the Nebraska Landlord-Tenant Act rather than the unlawful detainer statutes, he should be held to that standard, and that the court should have found or should have considered more seriously that he was a landlord. From a legal standpoint, that's as far as we get, because under the statute that was moved forward in this case, if Mr. Bass was not found as a landlord in this matter, Ms. Wood could not move further with her claim. So it's simply our position that in this instance, that the court should have more seriously considered that Mr. Bass was a landlord because he admitted as much in prior legal proceedings.
Mr. Polk, would you agree with the proposition that if we did not have that first action, that the Landlord-Tenant Act does not apply to this case?
That's correct. Yes, I would agree with that. I would, if not for his admission in his notice, also in the record is a notice to quit where he specifically says, I am a landlord under the Nebraska Landlord-Tenant.
Is that a judicial admission or is it a simple admission?
It's a simple admission, Your Honor.
And so as a simple admission, is that something that the trial court had discretion to as to how to weigh that as compared to the remainder of the testimony?
Yes, that's a correct statement of law. And that's simply my argument in this case. I don't have anything for that.
Questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Polk. And Mr. Brown.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, Mr. Polk. My name is John Brown. I represent the appellee in this case, Ken Bass. Your Honors, as Mr. Polk pointed out, the appellant in this case filed a complaint against Mr. Bass alleging one cause of action under the Disposition of Personal Property Landlord-Tenant Act. Therefore, it's her burden at trial to prove that she is indeed a tenant, Mr. Pat Bass is indeed a landlord. Those terms are defined in the Act. Under the Act, a landlord means an owner of premises for rent. At trial, it was appellant's burden to prove that there was some type of rent, that there was a rental agreement. None of that is in the record. This isn't a case, Your Honor, where we brought up at trial, you know, some surprise defense. We filed a motion for summary judgment, briefed this issue on this specific issue that there was no landlord-tenant relationship. At trial, the evidence before initially Judge Hunton and then reviewed by Judge Thompson was that there was no rent paid. There was no agreement to pay any type of money or rent. There was no rental agreement. There was no exclusive possession conferred to the appellant by the appellee.
What effect does the prior proceeding have on that?
It's a simple admission, Your Honors, to be used for weight and credibility. So on one hand, you have the appellee, Ken Bass, signing a document that was a form document given to him by prior counsel to say, if you want this person out of the home, you have to give them 30 days notice. He signed that document. It was offered and received by the court as an admission that he's the landlord. But then you take that and weigh it against all the other evidence. Again, no rental agreement, no rent paid, no exclusive possession, which is also required to be a tenant under the Disposition of Personal Property Landlord Act. You must be entitled under a rental agreement to occupy any premises for rent at the exclusion of others. None of those definitions were met by any evidence.
So if we say his admissions in that prior case were just simple admissions, okay. But what about the fact that we have the writ of restitution in our record, which means that there was an adjudication on the issue and the court found it to apply the Landlord-Tenant Act, right?
No, Your Honor. There was a writ issued. There was an order issued. The order is not in the record. And I know the court cannot take under consideration anything that's not in the record. But if you read that order, it says by agreement of the parties. There's no finding in the order on the restitution action that there is a landlord-tenant relationship, that the appellant is in breach of any type of rental agreement. There are no findings to that effect. What we have is an order granting restitution of the premises. If you go to the forcible entry detainer statutes, it does allow, in addition to there being a violation of landlord-tenant agreement, somebody to evict a person on the premises that's not allowed to be there. It doesn't hold valid title. And so just because the writ of rest or the 30-day notice utilizes the word landlord-tenant does not then go back and change the facts and create a rental agreement where none existed.
There didn't have to be a written agreement, right? I mean, reader stands for the proposition that it can be
correct.
An implied contract.
Correct. Under the reader elements, one of the four elements is the transfer of exclusive possession and control of the premises to the tenant. Again, there was no evidence on the record, no testimony or otherwise, that there was ever exclusive possession conferred to the appellant. So even under the elements articulated by reader versus reader, there is no landlord-tenant relationship. This is a guest-host relationship. We've talked this afternoon about simple versus judicial admissions. We've cited Nichols Media in our brief for an example of a case that delineates those two and articulates the difference. I believe Mr. Polk would agree that the 30-day notice, the eviction action, constitute simple admissions. And the court in Nichols Media stated that such statements are not conclusive, but may be explained, rebutted, or contradicted and thereafter are to be given such weight as the trier of fact deems them entitled. Judge Hutton had an opportunity to weigh the evidence adduced at trial received by Judge Hutton. He did so and made a finding that there was no landlord-tenant relationship. Judge Thompson had an opportunity to review that evidence and those findings and agreed with Judge Hutton. And in accordance with those two findings, Your Honors, if there's no other questions, we would ask the court to affirm.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Polk, I don't think you reserved any time, so I
have nothing further, Your Honor.
All right. Okay. Thank you then, counsel. We appreciate your argument. The case will be taken under submission, and you are excused.